It's 12 minutes past 11. You're listening to The Asian Network. I'm Tina Dehealy. Now, we'd like to welcome Manoj and Sejal Thakra to the show. Their four-year-old son, Shiv, has been diagnosed with a muscle-wasting disease, Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Now, at the moment, there's no cure, and typically sufferers live until they're around 25 years old. Shiv's family have now launched a website to share his story and to campaign for more funding and research. Thank you both for coming in to talk about Shiv and your experiences. When did this begin for you? When did you realise Shiv wasn't well?
At the age of two, we had some concerns about Shiv's health, so we took him to a paediatrician. I mean, it wasn't around his motor skills, which is what's linked to Duchenne muscular dystrophy. We were referred to have several blood tests. So for about 8 or 9 months, we were going through tests and we didn't really have any conclusive results. But at the same time, we started noticing that he was having difficulties with climbing stairs. He wasn't running like his peers, and you know, in a home environment you don't see that, but when we were out and about or in nursery we did see that. And at the same time, nursery had mentioned that they were also seeing that he wasn't moving like his peers in his dance class, and then as a result we were referred to because we had no conclusive results, we referred to another team at Great Ormond Street Hospital, the metabolic team. At that time, we noticed that, you know, there was a connection. So we were having tests for something completely different. And with his delay in motor skills, they realised that there could be a muscle problem. So we had a what's called a CK test that tests the breakdown of muscles, and Shiv's values were extremely high. And as a result of that, we had a test with the neuromuscular team that 2 months later confirmed that Shiv had Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
So that whole process from when you realise something might be wrong to diagnosis, 10 months then, around about that time?
About a year at least.
Oh, yeah.
It was about a year.
Does it normally take that long?
It shouldn't do, no. I mean, it's one of those things where you don't, you know, it's only when you notice something physically slightly not quite right that, you know, the alarm bells will ring and stuff. But and typically it depends the hospital you go to, and if they can diagnose it and if they can see the symptoms straight off and know what tests to do. Because it's a rare condition, it's not something that's typically tested. And normally the blood test, you know, you look for, you know, any sort of allergy or any sort of, intolerance to food or anything like that. But usually what they'll do is they'll do an x-ray, and that's what one of the things that was done with Shiv. They checked his hips out and they said, well, bone structure wise there doesn't seem to be any problems. It's only when the metabolic team noticed and started to put two and two together a little bit and thought, hold on, this looks like it's muscle related, and we need to do the relevant tests on the muscle side to see if that is that is what it is. And that's where we came up with the results and the diagnosis, really.
What was your reaction on that day when you found out he was diagnosed?
Oh, we were devastated. I mean, we did know, just before we had the test, about 6 weeks before we had the test, we were told that it was a severe muscle wasting condition. But we had still had 6 weeks and we were still in hope, and, you know, we were hoping that wouldn't be the case. I mean, we remember, we left Shiv with his grandparents, and we went to get the results, and, you know, we were full of hope and fear, hope that, that the results would be negative and we can now move on and get on with our life. And still we were very fearful that actually he could have Duchenne. But we remember the consultation started with, this will be a very difficult conversation. And that was it, really. I think, at that point, we both just sat there. Our hearts were broken and our world was turned absolutely upside down.
It must be, I mean, I can't even imagine, but as a parent, that must be one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult thing you can find out about your child.
It is, no, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we all have hopes and aspirations when we have young children, and, you know, our kids are born, and you have this picture in your head about how life's going to pan out, and, you know, how he's going to grow up and go to school, go to university and you know, get a degree and get a fantastic job and, you know, hopefully pay our mortgage off at some point and all those things. When you get the diagnosis, it does shatter that picture. It does, you know, it certainly did for us, and everything starts looking different. Everything, you know, walk out of the house and the plants look different, the flowers look different, the sun looks different, and you know, just that that image and that picture does get shattered. And I think for us, it's knowing that it's going to be our son that's going to have to go through this. And as any parent would probably feel, you want to take that away from them, and you know you're happy to take that on yourself, but not have your child go through what they're going to have to go through in life. So absolutely, it's a horrible thing to go through.
Does Shiv know there's anything wrong?
He's still young at the moment, so we've not really explained to him what Duchenne muscular dystrophy is. But he does. He has now started picking up. So he'll be at school. He'll start asking questions. Why can't I run as fast as my friends? Why can't I pedal my bike like my friends? So he is starting to see that there is a difference. But he's still at that age where he's quite young. So he will dismiss it. I mean, we have said to him, you know, your muscles are a little weak, Shiv. You know, and that mummy and daddy are working really hard to ensure that, you know, that we'll get them stronger, and that's where it is at the moment. So he's unaware of his condition.
That must be difficult for you though, when things like that happen, when Shiv says to you, I can't do this, or I can't cycle as fast as my friends.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. It really is. It's you want your child to be to enjoy the, you know, the playground and do all the other kids are doing, and he's coping pretty well. You know, he kind of knows his limitations. It's funny how naturally, you know, your body starts telling you how, you know, what you can and can't do a little bit. Obviously, he doesn't understand, but certainly for him, you know, when we're at, you know, play groups and we're at, you know, birthday parties and you know, we see all the other kids running around, and he'll look at us to sort of say, hey, I need a bit of help here, you know, just to climb up that little climbing frame or whatever it is. And it does break your heart, but you know, we need to encourage him and you know, just to push him in the right direction and stuff, just to feel like he's included. And I think that's the key thing. We don't want him to feel excluded and feel like he's the odd one out, because that's going to, you know, emotionally be very, very taxing for him.
In what other ways is his day-to-day life and your day-to-day lives different, and how's it changed now?
There's the physiotherapy side. So we spend time with him, massage him, and physiotherapy a couple of times a day, just to give him the appropriate stretches. A lot of time is spent at hospital appointments, blood tests, seeing the physiotherapist, seeing consultations. So all the time, you know, that Shiv could be spending playing, you know, we're taken to the hospital. I mean, for him now, it started to become part of everyday life. When we initially kicked off the appointments, etc., you know, for him, that was, he used to wonder why we spent so much time at the hospital, whereas now he's just like, oh, okay, we're going to the hospital, and, you know, it's a little bit of an outing for him. But yeah, so it has changed.
Yeah, it's certainly changed day-to-day life for him, and obviously for us. I think, you know, for us, it's we always need to be strong during the day when he's there, and, you know, he's awake, and it's usually when he goes to sleep that, you know, everything starts feeling very different for us, because we need to stay positive for him. But when he goes to sleep, and, you know, that's when our, you know, we start talking and our minds start running overtime, and we start thinking about the condition and really how it affects him, and, you know, reflect on the day that just went past, especially when there's been hospital appointments and things like that. And you know, you feel bad. You feel bad for him. And you know, it's very emotionally taxing for us as well. It's, you know, it's something we're learning to deal with, but it's a difficult one to deal with. So, it's certainly changes life.
For people who don't know, what is Duchenne muscular dystrophy?
So, yeah, Duchenne muscular dystrophy is a very rare muscle wasting condition. It basically causes the muscle to weaken and waste over time. So it leads to increasing severe disability. So typically, Duchenne muscular dystrophy currently affects around 2,500 people in the UK, and about 100 children are born with it every year. So it's very rare. It's caused by a genetic mutation on what's called the X chromosome, meaning that almost all of the boys that are affected, or everyone that is affected, is boys. There are some girls who are affected, but it's extremely rare for girls to have Duchenne. And these mutations effectively prevent the body from producing a vital protein called dystrophin. And this is the vital protein that's needed for the body to repair the muscles when they break down. So all our muscles will break down on a regular basis, but this particular protein builds them back up. Children with Duchenne do not produce this dystrophin protein, and hence their muscles will start weakening over time. And typically it's diagnosed at around the age of five. And again, typically children will start needing to use a wheelchair by the age of 12. So their ability to walk will be a lot less. They'll get very tired easily. Look, they can't walk long distances. And they start facing some health issues as they get into the late teens. So the heart and the lungs are also muscles as well. So the upper body will start getting weaker. So paralysis will start in their early teens, and it's the lungs that start affecting the respiratory problems, breathing problems. Typically, children will need a machine to help them breathe, a machine to help them cough. At night time, they'll be wearing splints to help their muscles. They'll struggle to turn around in bed at night. So you'll have to get up to it during the night to help them move, turn around. And unfortunately, the heart, being a muscle, is where the condition really does take hold and affect the life. It's typical for children, for people with Duchenne, to have heart failure and for the heart to give up, typically in their 20s. So rarely do people see their 30th birthday when they've got Duchenne. There are examples out there of people who are still alive beyond 30, which is fantastic, and standard of care is increasing in this country and all over the world. But every child varies, and that's the scary thing. We don't know how it's going to affect Shiv, but there are certain conditions that within Duchenne that are very typical and will be there for him.
That must be incredibly tough to come to terms with, knowing that life expectancy is around 25.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're still, it has been very difficult to come to terms with it. In fact, it's something that does challenge us on a daily basis. I think it's something that you don't really ever, I don't think as a parent you really accept that, the thought that your child will be leaving this world before you, that it's extremely hard to imagine. But, we've been speaking to, as soon as we were diagnosed, we threw ourselves into the Duchenne world and, spoke to researchers, scientists and charities and other parents with children with Duchenne and other Duchenne sufferers. And we slowly realised that we have hope. There's a lot of researchers do it. There's a lot going on in terms of clinical research. So we have a lot of hope, which is why we've set up our charity. It's Smile with Shiv. We're on www.smilewithshiv.org. And our main aims are to raise awareness of the condition, to raise as much funds as we can, and also to work with the Duchenne community to ensure that when the drugs are available, that we have fast access to them.
Because at the moment, there is no cure, is there?
Absolutely, yeah. That's what I was going to say. That the hardest thing to hear is when you're told that your son has this condition, but there is no cure at the moment. Typically when you go to the doctors or the hospital, normally they'll say, this is what the problem is. There you go. There's a couple of pills you need to take. Go away. Have them on a daily basis, and everything will be fine. And that's kind of what you hope to hear. But unfortunately, with Duchenne, the reality is at the present time there is no cure. And that's why it's very important for ourselves to raise the awareness and to try and raise as much funds as possible, and to work closely with other charities like the Muscular Dystrophy Campaign to really try and pump money into research and clinical trials and drug companies to try and see if we can get a cure out there. There are drug companies that are working very, very hard on trying to find a cure. We do understand for Duchenne, it's not going to be one drug that's going to fix this. It's going to be a combination of drugs, a cocktail of drugs, to help with a variety of different effects of the condition. But we're working very closely with the charities and with the drug companies to really just trying to push for a cure.
So there is hope.
There is hope. We have to have hope. Yeah, it's one thing we realise very quickly that we can't give up hope. We very quickly realise there's a lot of other charities and a lot of family charities that are doing some incredible work and really trying to fight to find a cure. And we need to fight with them. The Duchenne community is a very strong community, and together we need to fight. And we all have that hope to save our children. We feel we want to be. Our children want to be the first generation to survive this horrible condition, and we truly believe that it's something that should be should happen.
You're obviously involved in this area and closely involved and aware and across the research. Has anybody told you how far off they are from developing a cure?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's there are a number of companies that are doing that are in clinical trials. We're very quickly finding out about how the clinical trial process works, how all the regulatory side of things works. It's all new to us. Neither of us have a medical background at all, but we've almost become little experts in this particular field, and which is and sometimes you almost have to go to physicians and doctors and almost explain to them what the condition is, because it is so rare. But there are drug companies. There's a few companies that are in clinical trials. They're still very early days. And they are working very hard to go through the process. There's the regulatory approval with the regulatory bodies, typically the EMA in Europe, the FDA in the US. But there is one drug company and one potential drug which is called Translarna. And it's actually been given conditional approval within the European community. It's a given approval by the EMA. It actually helps a particular type of mutation within Duchenne, so it's not one that actually will benefit Shiv. Mm. It's for a mutation of Duchenne that's called nonsense mutation, and it's the way the reading frame works to stop signals to stop producing the dystrophin protein. And this particular drug has been given conditional approval and is now available in a lot of European countries like France, Spain, Germany, and Italy, and even Denmark. But we are fighting with the Duchenne community to get funding with the NHS England to help provide this drug to the children who can benefit from it.
And that's not the case at the moment?
It's not the case at the moment, no. We were actually in a lobby campaign in Parliament last week on Wednesday with a lot of different families and a lot of charities to really try and make the NHS England understand that they need to ring fence funding for this. And we worked very closely with MPs, and fortunately one of the boys who can benefit from this drug, a boy called Archie, a fantastic 9-year-old boy who was very brave and was on air and on TV as well, and he actually wrote a letter to David Cameron and said, please help us get this drug. And he actually handed in the petition to David Cameron down in Downing Street as part of the lobby, which was absolutely incredible. And it's lobbies like that and things like that we really need to focus on to try and get faster access to drugs.
When you ask for it, I mean, what's the response? What response do you get from, if your MP's trying to do this on your behalf as well and the NHS? What have they said to you?
Well,
So the MPs have been very supportive. It's important we get the MPs and whoever we can on the governmental side on our side and understand our story, and that's one of the reasons why we're here today, really, to raise that awareness. But it's the NHS is going through a lot of reforms at the moment, and I think there is a lot of the MPs are really trying to battle to try and get this on the agenda. But it's NHS England that we really need to be in front of and for them to understand that they need to fund this. Unfortunately, NHS England did not come to the lobby last Wednesday, which was very disappointing for us and the Duchenne community as a whole. And we really need our MPs to help us fight to try and get this on the agenda to the NHS to help fund this.
Is this treatment you could get privately?
Typically not. The reason is that it's not cheap. Being a rare condition, I mean, this particular drug only helps 10 to 15% of boys in the Duchenne community. And the numbers that are thrown around is a drug like this can typically cost £150,000 to £200,000 a year. And that's not affordable.
Money.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we have a fantastic NHS system in this country. And it helps a lot of conditions, a lot of mainstream conditions. But we need the rare conditions like Duchenne and other muscular dystrophies to really be, to get the funding as well. So it's very hard to get it privately. I think we rely on the NHS to really help us to get access to these drugs.
Yeah, okay. And with this, with the particular drug, for any drug that's associated with Duchenne, we just don't have the time, because every day, every day, every week, every month, our boys are walking and they're losing, they're losing their muscles. So, we just don't have time for administration issues. We haven't got time for processes to be resolved.
You need
every
now.
Day counts. So you know, it's a race against time for these drugs. So it could make a difference. 6 months could make a difference between a boy losing the ability to walk and still walking. It's, you know, it's so important that these drugs are made available as soon as they're approved.
OK, well, if any of you are listening and you're caring for a child who's terminally ill, you can get in touch with us. Let us know how much support you're getting, how you cope day to day. The number's 08459 440445. 81869 is the text number. You can email Nihal at bbc.co.uk. Or if you've got any questions for Manoj and Sejal or just want to speak to them, give them a message, you can do as well. We'll be back after this. मेहंदी है रचने वाली हाथों में गहरी लाली कह सखियां अब कलियां हाथों में खिलने वाली है तेरे मन को जीवन को नई खुशियां मिलने वाली है मेहंदी है
month, the BBC Asian Network In Conversation With series continues.
Ladies and gentlemen.
With a massive Bollywood icon.
This is Amitabh Bachchan. You are listening to BBC Asian Network.
This is your opportunity to see the superstar discuss his new film, Shamita, his 4 decades in Bollywood, his blockbuster hit,
I can talk English, I can walk English,
and lots more. One, two, three, four. A limited number of free tickets are available, so for your chance to be there, go to our website and register before Friday.
In conversation with Amitabh Bachchan on BBC Asian Network.
It's 11:37. Welcome to the Asian Network. I'm still joined by my guests for this hour, Manoj and Sejal Thakra. Now, their 4-year-old son, Shiv, has been diagnosed with a muscle-wasting disease, Duchenne muscular dystrophy. At the moment, there's no cure. Clinical trials are happening at the moment, but no cure as such. Typically, sufferers live until they're about 25 years old, and Shiv's family have now launched a website to share his story and to campaign for more funding and research. We've had a few messages come in. This one... from a text, actually, that says, my husband supports me. I had a stroke and then was wheelchair bound 4 years ago. My 7-year-old daughter's been diagnosed with juvenile arthritis and uveitis, which affects the eye. We're back and forward to the hospital for treatment. He has no support from anyone. It's a lot of hard work, not forgetting he also has to go to work with constant night shifts. Another one here. Hi to all from the BBC to the BBC Asian Network. Can I have a request for our son Simran, who's had a great recovery, fighting for his life in hospital 10 days ago, wishing him a quick recovery from mum, dad, Kirtan Singh and Asha, brothers Arjun, Kishan, Sis Kushi from Musselburgh in Scotland. Well, it's fantastic to hear he's had a great recovery. So sending our love to you. And another message here from Geeta in Cambridge. Hi, Tina. Please pass my best wishes of hope and faith for your guests. Their son is called Shiv, so with Bhagwan on his side, let's pray he'll have the strength and courage to battle his condition. It must be heartbreaking as parents to see this every day. Have faith and all will be fine.
Thank you.
Thanks for the messages. No, it's good to hear.
You talked before about being part of this community now. You know a lot more about muscular dystrophy, meeting other families, other children. What's that like, meeting other parents in your situation?
Yes, I mean, you know, we've met families that have older children. We've met families where the children are the same age as us. It's inspirational to meet these families, and that's what that's inspired us to actually do what we're doing and to go on a daily basis, and it's very inspirational, and it's great because we hear of, you know, we share stories in terms of you know, physiotherapy and living on a daily basis. It's really helped us to speak to families and it's really important for the boys as well as they grow up to have friends that are similar age to them, that will be especially in the future, it'll be important for the boys, especially those that are the same age, so they'll be going through the same issues, and it's really key for us to be mixing with the families.
Yeah, no, definitely, it's a lifeline for us. We need that. You know, it's always difficult when you speak to people, and you know, you always have in the back of mind, do you understand? Do you know what's happening, what we're going through? And you know, there's a lot of children suffering out there in so many different conditions, and different conditions like Duchenne and everything else. And you know, for us to meet other families, and you know, especially for families within the Duchenne community, is a lifeline for us. It makes a big difference. It helps us to understand the condition better, and really just to bounce ideas off each other and fight together. I think that's the key thing. We've got one thing in common, and that's to save our boys. And you know, that common goal is something that brings, you know, that brings the best out of us and gives us inspiration. And there's been a lot of charity organizations that, you know, who have children that are older than Shiv, and they're just doing some incredible work out there, and that again gives us a lot of inspiration.
Mm. Now, is this a condition that that affects the Asian community in particular? Or disproportionately? No.
No, there's no social cultural boundaries with Duchenne.
How supportive have your wider family been through this process?
Oh, just absolutely amazing. I mean, it's very touching. It's quite positively overwhelming, the response that that we have. It's just, you know, that is what initially when we were first diagnosed, you know, that is what has given us the strength to do what we are doing and why we are here raising awareness. I mean, it's without that support, I don't know where we would be, to be honest. It's amazing.
Yeah, family and friends count for a lot, and and we hope that we hope to send that message out that especially within the Asian community, that if there is any taboos or anything with disability and these things, that we need to break those barriers down. Certainly, it's something we've not experienced at all in our experience and with our family. But they've been incredible, and that support for us really does lift us. And it's family and friends, and a lot of them are already starting to think about what to do and how to help our fundraising. We've got a family member who's going to be running the London Marathon for us this year, and it's incredible what they're doing already. So we feel overwhelmed and blessed to have very very special family and friends with us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as Manoj said before, it's important that there may be some stigma attached to a disability, but what we've learned very quickly is that not speaking to people and not being open about the condition, you do cut off a support network, which is really key and vital, especially when your child or with anybody suffering from a rare disease. So that's key.
But you touched on it before, and it was what I was going to ask you. You're very open about what's happened to Shiv, the process, and you're involved. But there is still, I'm ashamed to say it, but it is still a taboo, stigma when it comes to disability, or anything being wrong as it's perceived with your child. What advice would you give to someone who's listening and who's in the same position? I mean, I know even, through family, friends, people who have conditions that have never been talked about because there is this stigma attached to them. And actually nobody knows.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I think, what I would say is that it's important. I mean, you always put yourself you try and put yourself in that person's position and really feel, is that what they would want? Would they be seen as somebody who shouldn't be talked about, or whose condition shouldn't be talked about and should be sort of put on the side a little bit? We certainly feel, it's not something that should be the case. We need to get the message out there, and it's important to tell family and friends, because that support can be overwhelming. I mean, I think people might feel they're scared to do that because of what the reaction will be. But certainly in our experience, I think the reaction is actually very positive. We've always said that, when you know the people who kind of treat you slightly differently, who probably don't want to include you or include your child in certain events, then, well, at least we know about them now, and we can not waste time on people like that. We certainly don't experience that ourselves, but it's important to get the message out there. It's important for family to know, especially when you've got a physical condition, because obviously people will start seeing the differences when they're in family functions, at weddings, play groups, or whatever it is, and they'll always start asking the question, what's wrong with that child? Why doesn't he run? Why does he do that? Why is he not joining in? Both from a physical and even from a behavioural point of view, and I think being open about it is allows acceptance, and I think people will be more comfortable and knowing what your child's going through or what the condition is. And
in the case of parents are embarrassed.
Yeah, it's and it's a shame. it shouldn't be the case. How can you be embarrassed about your child, no matter what the condition is, whether it's whether it is Duchenne or anything else? They are your child. You should be proud of them, and we're certainly proud of Shiv. And that we should embrace that.
If anything, we feel blessed, that Shiv's come into our lives, and you have this belief we always have this belief where Shiv has chosen us. Has chosen us as parents, and for a reason, because he believes that we'll be able to make a difference for him, and we feel truly blessed that he's in our lives, and we wouldn't have it any other way, and we just embrace that. And
I read out another message that's come in. Hi, my brother's daughter's got the same illness. She's now 18. I can remember when she was walking, and slowly, day by day, she stopped and we had to take over. For everyday life, going to the toilet, having a bath, it's hard. She's in a wheelchair. Every day we just pray. I understand what you're going through. Thank you for sending that in.
Yeah, well, you know, our thoughts with you as well and the family. It's, you know, it's you know, we believe, you know, those messages, you know, it's important for people to understand what everyone's going through. It's rare for a girl to have Duchenne, so it's important to hear that, those experiences as well.
So tell us about this website, Smile with Shiv. How did that come about and what is it?
Well, Smile with Shiv is our campaign. Mm-hmm. Shiv, he has what, we may be a bit biased here, but a lot of people do say that he has the most beautiful smile.
There's a gorgeous picture on the website, on the front page.
Thank you. And it's infectious. And he's always smiling, always. So, you know, as pretty much soon after we were diagnosed, we had decided that, you know, we were not going to sit back and wait for a miracle or something to happen or a drug to appear. We wanted to do something, so we decided to set up the campaign Smile with Shiv. We're on www.smilewithshiv.org. For us, we want to raise awareness of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. We want to raise as much money as possible, so it can be given to those that are working really hard to save Shiv's life and thousands of other boys and girls, as we've just heard. And more importantly, as we mentioned before, work with the Duchenne community to ensure that we have access to potential treatments as soon as possible, because it's key for this condition, for any muscular dystrophy, that we stabilise this. Mm. So that's key for us.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with our slogan "Smile with Shiv," you know, we want people to join in. That's we want to send a positive message out that, you know, we can actually, as a unit and together as a community with all our friends, family, and all the other charities that are working, we can work together to try and help find a cure for this. And, you know, we are Smile with Shiv and we are Fight Duchenne, and that's what we're doing. We are trying to fight Duchenne. We want to end this this horrid condition. And, you know, we're fortunate to work very closely with the Muscular Dystrophy Campaign to raise funds, and all of our funds that we do raise will go to the Duchenne Research Breakthrough Fund, which is a fund within the Muscular Dystrophy Campaign to really pump money into the research, to the clinical trials, to the scientists, into the lab, really to do, you know, really to find a cure and see what's out there that's potential and that's doable, so that we can actually get something out there for children like Shiv and others with Duchenne.
Listen, thank you both so much for coming in and sharing your story and telling us what you're up to. Best of luck with everything going forward, and do keep us updated and let us know what happens in the future. Can you just give us that website one more time?
Yep, it's www.smilewithshiv.org.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, SMILEWITHSIV, smilewithshiv.org. And thank you very much for the opportunity. It means a lot to us.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
चुपके दो दिल मिल रहे हैं मगर चुपके सबको हो रही है हाँ सबको हो रही है खबर चुपके ओ चुपके सांसों में बड़ी बेकरारी आंखों में कई रत जगे कभी कहीं लग जाए दिल तो कहीं फिर दिल ना लगे अपना दिल मैं
जरा थम लो जादू का मैं इस नाम दो जादू कर रहा है जादू कर रहा है असल चुपके चुपके दो दिल मिल रहे हैं मगर चुपके चुपके ऐसे भोले बन कर हैं बैठे जैसे कोई बात नहीं सब कुछ नजर आ रहा है दिन है ये रात नहीं क्या है कुछ भी नहीं है अगर ओंठों पे है खामोशी मगर कर रही है बातें कर रही है नजर चुपके चुपके दो दिल मिल रहे हैं मगर चुपके चुपके लगने से पहले उठता है ऐसा धुआं जैसा है इधर का नजारा वैसा ही उधर का समां दिल में कैसी कसक सी जगी दोनों जानिब बराबर लगी तो इधर से देखो तो इधर से उधर चुपके चुपके दो दिल मिल रहे हैं मगर चुपके चुपके सबको हो रही है हाँ सबको हो रही है खबर चुपके चुपके हो दो दिल मिल रहे हैं मगर चुपके चुपके मगर चुपके 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 चुपके
जान मेरी ते मैं सब दे छड़या दिलदार सजन कुछ भी ना बचया मेरे कोल मेरे हानी दिल दे दरवाजे उते दस्तक दे तू यार सजन दे खुल जाने दिल दे सारे पोल मेरे हानी सजना तेनू रब दा वास्ता जान बचा ले मेरी सजना ते तेरे रब दा फैसला ना तेरे ना मेरी सजना तेनू रब दा
वास्ता जान बचा ले मेरी सजना ते रब दा फैसला ना तेरी ना मेरी संसार जगत नू पावे सोनी सूरत है तेरे कोल मेरे हानी जद मैं मर जावांगा तू लबदी फिरे मौला दे करम नू ना होवांगा मैं तेरे कोल मेरे हानी हुस्न तेरे दी है सजा मैनू वफा तेनू सजना तेनू रब दा वास्ता जान बचा ले मेरी सजना ते रब दा फैसला ना तेरी ना मेरी सजना तेनू रब दा वास्ता जान बचा ले मेरी सजना ते रब दा फैसला ना तेरी ना मेरी मैं तेरे दिल विच वसना चाहता वा तू प्यार है मेरा ना होवांगा मैं डावा डोल मेरे हानी दुनिया ते बन जावा राजा जे बन जाए हीर तू मेरी सजना तू प्यार नो मेरे तोल मेरे हानी हुस्न तेरे ते मैं फिदा होया मेरे कोलो केड़ा है गुना सजना तेनू रब दा वास्ता जान बचा ले मेरी सजना ते रब दा फैसला ना तेरी ना मेरी सजना तेनू रब दा वास्ता जान बचा ले मेरी
The sound of Asian Britain on digital TV, online and on your mobile. This is BBC Asian Network.
A very good afternoon. It's just coming up to midday.